Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Sean Broderick, the natural resource analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Now, Sean, let's take a step away from some of the volatility we're seeing in the market and focus on a couple sectors that we haven't chatted too much about recently. We're going to start with lithium. We were chatting off mic and you mentioned, let's chat about lithium because you've entered a couple positions for your subscribers and those positions have done pretty well. This all ties into this whole battery metals and just battery narrative that continues to grow here. Sean, what's your thought on lithium, the opportunities that potentially are possible here for investors?
Yeah, we're seeing a real supply-demand squeeze develop in the first quarter. Prices of all kinds went higher. You know, there's more than one kind of lithium, but and there's no standardized market. That's the thing that makes it such a tough thing to talk about. But in the various markets around the world, the price of all kinds of lithium went higher, and that really picked up in the second quarter. Now, the interesting thing is Albemarle said that they didn't see much pricing pressure, and that sent those stocks skidding. That's great because that's when we picked up Livent. That's when we picked up Standard Lithium, was on the skid. And now they're blasting off because everyone else is seeing tightness, not just tightness this year, tightness next year as well. And I was reading a report. I'm not in front of my computer. I'm trying to remember who it was from. But, like, they expected tightness through 2023 and then easing off a bit. And then in, like, 2027, just a real tightness in the lithium market beginning. Now, there's a long time between here and there. Things can change a lot in the lithium markets. But when one investment bank after another is looking at this big picture and seeing that's what's going to happen, then what you want to own is those companies that can produce lithium now and also near-term lithium producers. They're all starting to blast off now. I don't expect them to go up in a straight line. I expect they'll zig and zag and all that stuff. So if you want to wait for the next pullback, fine. But I am glad to be owning those right now, I have to tell you.
Well, Sean, you mentioned owning the lithium producers, and I agree in a more of a niche metal like this. Sometimes it's good to go with the true names, the ones that are actually producing revenues off of the price trend. But do you have any interest in going further down the food chain and looking at the exploration stocks? Or do you find that for investors, sticking with the producers or the near-term producers is the best way to go?
Well, for example, do you consider Lithium Americas an exploration stock? Or do you consider it a developer? I think it's a developer at like this point.
A developer, yeah.
So that's one I would be interested in like owning. Some of the smaller ones, I mean, all depending on like where they're working. I had an article on this a couple weeks ago speaking about how the not in my backyard syndrome is really dragging on a few projects that want to get started around North America in like places like Nevada, Quebec, stuff like that. They're really running into local opposition. And so that means when you move down the food chain to the explorers, you have some real, you know, you have some real odds facing you if things don't go the right way. That said, we know down in Chile, you know, they had a very left-leaning government take power and threaten to rewrite the rules about, you know, how much they have to pay in taxes and stuff down there. So things can happen anywhere. What I'd be looking at right now is I would be looking at present-day producers or near-term producers, and near-term, I'd say anytime between now and 2025, that operate in places like Australia, but also the better parts of like South America, but also have a real opportunity in North America and aren't going to be derailed by non-governmental types or advocates of the sage grouse or anything like that, because there is opposition to these projects out there. So people have to keep their eyes and ears open and not just read the company presentations, but look at the news around these companies as well. See what's happening in that area. are the locals greeting these companies with like wide open arms because they want the jobs, which is a very good reason, or else are they pushing back against it because they like to hunt and fish in that area and they don't want to mine there? So, you know, people have to be more careful. This isn't straightforward, but I really think it's a big opportunity.
Well, Sean, there's also three different types of lithium deposits that people are talking about extracting. There's the hard rock deposits where they're able to extract lithium. There are the brines, which are a little bit more of a crazy science experiment where they're doing chemistry to extract it out of large, you know, old saltwater brines where they can pull it out of these big salars. But there's also a new one that's getting a lot of traction. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. And that's the idea that you can go into geothermal or oil and gas wells and do direct lithium extraction, DLE. That seems to be trending a lot this year. There's a lot of interest in California's Salton Sea, and there's a lot of car companies putting money into that. Do you think there's a play there, or do you like to play the more traditional hard rock and lithium mines?
I'm actually very interested in that. There's a nice project going down in Louisiana as well. So, I mean, I think we should keep our eyes on that because as the supply-demand squeeze comes along, we are going to have to turn to science to solve it. It's either that or the prices are just going to get so high that we're going to look for other alternatives. So, I mean, as you said, these are like science projects, but some of them are so close. You know, they might actually work out. So it's not like you should bet your nest egg on it, but putting a little money in one of these companies that might hit it out of the ballpark, I think that's something people should really consider now. Yeah, because so many of these science experiments are so close that there's some excellent opportunities there if they work out.
So, Sean, when it comes to catalysts or the type of work that you want to see these type of lithium companies doing, are there one, two, or three different avenues that you prefer to see these companies going down that you think provide the best opportunity for upside?
Well, I mean, it all depends on the company, and now I'm being called something else. I'm sorry, this could interfere with our conversation. All depends on the kind of deposit, what they're trying to do. Really, you have to look at individual companies. And one thing that I like to do is I like to see what they promised, like, say, 1, 2, even 3 years ago and see if they delivered on those promises, because that'll give you a good idea if, like, that's actually, if, like, things are working out for them, if they keep having to push things back, if they have to keep raising money without still getting to the point that they wanted to get to, then, you know, that's maybe cause for concern. You want companies that are making steady progress and actually achieving the goals they set.
Just one more question on lithium before we move on, Sean, and that is, you know, we've seen a little bit of M&A pick up in the space. There's a company, Orocobre, that was one of the first brine producers to do it on their own as a smaller entity. They're merging with Galaxy Resources out of Australia that has both brine and hard rock. We've seen Ganfeng, which is a big Chinese conglomerate, take partial positions and even take over a few companies. Do you think we'll see that trend of consolidation in the lithium space?
Absolutely, especially as like prices get squeezed higher. You know that's going to happen. And so that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to. This is one good reason why you shouldn't own just one or else just a few. You might want to have a nice little portfolio because you don't know which ones will be bought out, do you? So as long as they're a good company, they're not too dilutive, they don't keep, you know, selling shares every year to like raise money and stuff, you can put them in your portfolio and just tuck them away. I'm not saying take giant positions, but you don't know which one's going to hit it out of the park because it'll get, you know, taken over by some other company because the deposit they have really works well with that other company and they really want them in there. So I think, you know, you should cast a wide net if you can. Don't just bet all the money on like one horse because you don't know which one is actually going to win here.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that goes with a lot of different sectors too, right? Don't get too focused just on one or two stocks. Make sure you have a basket of those stocks to weather any sort of operational or exploration hiccups that a company might have. Sean, let's also talk about cannabis. You write the Marijuana Millionaires newsletter. We've talked about cannabis before. What are you looking at when it comes to the cannabis sector? Are you bullish, bearish? Where are you focused?
Well, for a while, I was really hoping we'd see the usual July rally. We did not. So I was actually quite despondent at that point. Like, where did my July rally go? But you know what? Now we're seeing things start to pick up. We have one stock called UGRO. That's the symbol UGRO, which is leading our portfolio higher now. And I like that. I like most of the ones which are ancillary, you know, that they sell greenhouses, lighting equipment, growing systems, stuff like that, because that doesn't just have to work for cannabis. That can work for all kinds of things. And we're really seeing interest in that area pick up. In fact, I think the Scotts Miracle-Gro, they have their cannabis-focused division. You know, they don't grow cannabis, but they make stuff for the people who, like, grow it. And they were really optimistic when they rolled out their most recent earnings report on that particular segment. So that all looks good. You know, I mean, we're seeing earnings from some companies up in Canada. It just makes me roll my eyes. Like the most recent one from like Canopy Growth, it's like, who is giving these guys money at this point? This is crazy. But I'm seeing some nice strong work from some US companies. Let me give you another name, Planet 13. Man, they are coming on strong, right? They had a great quarter in like their main store, which is in Las Vegas. They opened up the other store in like California. They just got a license for one in Chicago, so they'll be building that one. And that's really an entertainment experience when you go there. It's like a lot of fun. And so I think they should continue to do very well. And as with most other commodities, you know, it's those companies that are just trying to be the biggest grower are just going to get hurt because the prices will go down. They will go down. You have to look for how they're going to add value to it and how are they going to profit in the end. And there are a bunch of companies up in Canada that haven't really seemed to figure that out. I wish them the best. But there are a lot of companies, well, not a lot. There aren't that many cannabis companies. But more than a handful in the U.S. that actually seem to be approaching that, to seem to be approaching actual earnings. So I'm actually feeling pretty good about the sector, and I'll be in Las Vegas in September speaking at the Money Show, and that's going to be my topic because there's still plenty of opportunity there and a lot of things people can do. So I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, Sean, you brought up both Canadian and U.S. companies there, and we talked a little bit off mic, and you had mentioned you favored some of the U.S. companies. You know, there's always a tug of war in the cannabis space between the U.S. versus the Canadian companies and where people think the most growth opportunity is just based on not just the legality, but the trends and how many of the companies are piling into an area. Do you see any areas of growth in the U.S., since you like that a little bit more than the Canadian side, that have your interest based on new openings, legality, you know, business climate, tax climate? Is there anything that's catching your eye as far as a locality of where you invest?
Well, one thing I would say is that Florida has medical marijuana. They still don't have recreational. When they get recreational, that's going to be big. So that's one thing people might want to consider. But another thing I would add is that there are companies up in Canada that still have a lot of cash, but they don't have a clear way to profitability. The smartest thing for them is that when the U.S. legalizes, and maybe ahead of that, they'll start investing in U.S. companies which have a much better and a much clearer path to profitability and a much larger market. Once we get federal legalization, we won't have all these state-by-state silos either. And that's going to be chaos for a while. We'll have to see who wins. And again, this is the thing where you don't want to bet on one because you don't know who's actually going to come up, you know, the winner in these things. But so I would look for more mergers and acquisition in the space. And I bet you it's going to be Canadian money coming in and like buying up U.S. assets, because that looks like there's a real opportunity there as well.
Very interesting, Sean. Great comments as always. We'll get you out of here on that. But look, couple opportunities in these sectors when I know some people are pretty beat up over what's been going on with some of the commodities, especially a pullback in precious metals. But there are plenty of opportunities in these markets. And when you're investing in these stocks, yeah, pay attention to what they're doing. And I like your strategy of going back and seeing if they have followed through in the last couple of years on what they said they were going to do and at least move forward with their plans. Sean, thanks for your time, buddy. We'll chat in another couple weeks.
Always great, gentlemen. Thank you very much.